if you go to page 202, you will see the third commandment. So the third commandment, to keep the Sabbath holy, to keep the Lord's Day holy. In the old law, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, it's one day per week that the chosen people have to worship God. And so God gave us 6 days that we can do different things, but one day per week, He wants us to give it back to Him and to focus on worship, focus on our spiritual life. And then on page 203, you see that the church commands us to keep Sunday as the Lord's Day, because on Sunday, Christ rose from the dead, and on Sunday, the Holy Ghost descend upon the apostles. So Jesus delegated His authority to the church, and so the church became the living voice of Jesus. And the church indicate the ceremonial day to be kept holy. So from the apostle time, the first day of the week is the day to keep holy because of the resurrection, because of the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. And also, of course, the church also, with the God-given authority, interpret the Bible and the tradition, telling us that, you know, we don't have to observe other ceremonial law like circumcision or blood sacrifice, because those things make way for baptism and the sacrifice of the Mass. So we keep Sunday holy. It's also called the Lord's Day. How does the church command us to worship God on Sunday? The church commands us to worship God on Sunday by assisting at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So in here, you see that it's the divine law to keep one day holy per week. That's in the old law, in the Old Testament. Another divine law, which is in the New Testament, is at the Last Supper, when Jesus gave the command, do this in memory of me. That's another commandment. Do this in memory of me. So the church combined those two divine commandments and gave us an ecclesiastical law, the church law, that we have to keep Sunday holy by going to Mass on Sunday. So sometimes it can happen that a person may be, because of a legitimate reason, not able to go to Mass. I forgot who was I'm talking to maybe yesterday about Balakula. With Austin yesterday. We're teaching RCIA. Austin now cannot come to this class. He went to the Wednesday morning. I give him one-on-one instruction. So we talk about Balakula. So if you have to drive more than an hour to make to church on a Sunday, I think you are excused because it's too far. So if you are in Balakula, then you are excused because there's only Mass there once a month. It's once a month at the Carmelite priest, they rotate to go up there once a month. So it belongs to our diocese. But if you are there, you are somehow the other Sunday, if you're not able to make to Mass, you are not able to because it's just so remote. In here it's mentioned the sick, the very aged and infirm, and those engaged in works of necessity at the hour of Mass are excused from attending it. Those who live too far to walk or to have no convenience are also excused. Very bad weather may be sufficient excuse. Now, when there is an excuse, okay, so you are not obliged to observe the ecclesiastical law, the church law, to attend Mass, but there's still the divine law to keep one day holy. So you still should pray more on that day if you are not able to make to Mass for legitimate reason. Because the church can dispense you from ecclesiastical law. For a good reason, the parish priest can dispense somebody beforehand of a Sunday Mass obligation. Sometimes for good reason, I just don't feel like coming. I'm feeling watching television. You know, that's not a good reason. You know, but if for a good reason, the parish priest can dispense beforehand. Because it's a serious obligation, so unless it's a really serious reason, you need a dispensation, you know, for a good reason. But if it is, but even nobody can dispense you from the divine law. So there's a divine law where to keep one day holy for God. And so even a person is legitimately excused of going to Mass on Sunday, should still do his or her best to pray more on Sunday, to keep Sunday holy as much as possible. And also, to keep Sunday holy is not just by going to Mass. Going to Mass is essential to keep Sunday holy, but we should do our best to keep the whole day holy, the whole Sunday. The Mass is the high point of that day, but the whole day should be a holy day. So if you go to Mass, you know, pious and with halo, and then when you go out, you just, you know, shop like or party like a wild animal, it's not the right thing to do. You know, it should be a holy day. So it should be, the whole day should be, make that a holy day. So, number four in 203 here, on the top is mentioned. Mass is not our only obligation on Sunday, for God commands us to sanctify the whole day and not only a part of it. We should perform other good works. So, you know, on Sunday, quite often I have prayer group in the evening. That's a way that to sanctify Sunday. So last Sunday, I'm quite happy. It's almost like 40 people in our prayer group. It's pretty full house, and then we do night prayer, rosary, watching DVD about the Bible study. You know, say other prayer. That's a simple way to keep Sunday holy. A bit more thing to do, but also sometimes you can do some good work. In here, it's mentioned about receive the sacrament, sermon, instruction, attend Vespers and benediction. Some church do have Vespers and benediction, like evening prayer, solemnly sung with a Blessed Sacrament. Read the Bible, spiritual books, say the rosary, attend a solidarity or confraternity meeting, visit the Blessed Sacrament, the poor, the sick, and perform other works of mercy. It is not an obligation to spend the entire Sunday in such works, but we should try to give as much time to them as we can, for the love of God. If we do things we not require for the love of our friends on earth, how much more eager we should be to do them for our best friend of all, God. So, our love for God will always invite us to do something more on Sunday, you know. And if possible, it's possible, even though a lot of priests don't think that it's a mortal sin. And people sometimes ask, is that a sin to shop on Sunday, you know? But a lot of people don't think it's serious, but it's recommend if you are able to do it other day, do it on another day. Eating is another business, because when you eat, it still help you to rest, because you don't have to cook and to wash, you know? So eating may be a bit more appropriate, you know, to with your family. So you don't have to, you can be a day of rest also with your family. But you know, if shopping can be done on another day, do so. You know, if you can do like fixing the house, you know, cleaning thing and all kinds of thing on another day, do so. You know, if just the idea is that we have the body and the soul. Monday to Saturday, we do a lot of things for the body, shopping, cooking, cleaning, lots of things, and we spend time for the soul too, but maybe not as much. You know, we do pray from Monday to Saturday. But Sunday should be the opposite, huh? We do more for the soul and less for the body. So that's what we do on Sunday. So if some people, they might be, because of their profession, it's required to work on Sunday. Sometimes it's because of necessity for income to work on Sunday. If that's the situation, do your best, go to Mass on Sunday, but still do your best to find another day during the week that you can dedicate more for God and for the soul. So you can still have one day of rest that you can focus more on praying, reading, watching DVD like The Attic, or you know, whatever you can find that is good. But something that do something more for the soul one day per week. That's the spirit. You know, that's the mentality that we don't focus just on the body, but on the soul. We spend one day per week focus mainly on the soul, to look after our spiritual health.
That's partly in how Sunday became your family day kind of thing?
Yeah, because also, you know, part of it is that we are busy about a lot of bodily thing Monday to Saturday, so that we also, part of it is we also build a human relationship. And to build that up, you also need time together. And so Sunday is a good time that you spend time with the family. Now, in here it's mentioned that we have the obligation to attend Mass. And we should be attend Mass, you know, physically and mentally. So if you are physically present or mentally absent, like you sit down and then you fall asleep from the beginning to the end, then it's not fulfilling the Sunday Mass obligation. In here it's mentioned not to hear Mass on Sunday or to miss a notable part of Sunday Mass is a mortal sin. To come a little late and not make up for it in another Mass is a venial sin. So that's why you see the Filipino. In the Philippine Mass happen one after another. And it's quite often for the Filipino, okay, they come at the Gospel, at the Mass, and then they are late, but they stay for the whole Mass, and the next one they will go to right up to the Gospel for the next Mass, and then after the Gospel, bye-bye. Yeah.
They have their own time zone. It's Filipino time.
The Philippines is continuous.
Yeah, the Mass, a lot of time, because a lot of time in the Philippines, a parish can have thousands and tens of thousands of people in one parish. And so the Mass is going on one after another. So okay. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, continuous. Yeah, and because it's so many people in one church. So they are one parish is almost like the whole of Surrey of all our parishes add up together. Yeah. And then also, mind you, all the big parishes in our archdiocese, the biggest one, they are all mainly Filipino. Like St. Mary in Vancouver, Our Lady of Good Counsel in Surrey, St. Paul in Richmond, St. Matthew in Surrey, those are the big four. St. Patrick is big in Vancouver too, but they are not, compared to those four, it's still not the top four. But St. Mary, Joyce, because of SkyTrain Station. St. Mary in Vancouver, and then it's a Good Counsel in Surrey, the second one, and then St. Paul in Richmond is the third one, and then St. Matthew is the fourth one, and then you have the other one, IC Delta, St. Patrick in Vancouver, and some other one that are also quite a bit of people.
Our Lady of Mercy.
Our Lady of Mercy is not it's a lot of Filipino, but it's I think. Maybe a bit 100 or 200 people more than us here, but it's not significantly bigger. Yeah, it's almost like our size. Yeah. notable part of the Mass mean from the offertory until communion time. That's the part. If you miss it, you're not attend the Mass. You know, that will be, so in here it's mentioned, the priest have to hear an entire Mass from beginning to end, that is from the priest's entrance into the sanctuary till his departure into the sacristy. One is considered to have missed Mass if one arrived too late to be present at the offertory when the priest uncovered the chalice, or leaves before the communion is finished. The principal part, that is offertory, consecration, and communion, must be heard in one and the same Mass.
I see some people sometimes when they go for Holy Communion, they just walk right out the door.
Now, in here, I think I read somewhere is when the communion means the priest communion. Because remember, this book is a reprint from an old book, okay? In the good old days, people don't receive communion that often. Often it's that only the priest receive communion. So it might mean only up to the time when the priest received the chalice. But of course, you shouldn't be just walk away after receive communion, because we all apply after receive communion to have a proper thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We are applied to thanksgiving after receiving communion. Blessing. We should be staying until the priest said the Mass is ended. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then after that, if you leave, okay, I don't care much. You know, but if you make your thanksgiving, provided you make your thanksgiving, you know. But if you do have to go, because sometimes if you are pretty early to receive communion, by the time the priest say the Mass is ended, there's already sufficient time for you to make a good, proper thanksgiving. If you're the last one to receive a nuffie, you know, it's still too too soon to leave. So we should be doing our best, you know. Sometimes when you learn catechism book or you have the moral manual, it's good to know the minimum requirement, you know. How far can I go until it's a sin? You know, people want to know that. Or what make a mortal sin or a venial sin? Of course, people always ask those questions. You know, I got those questions asked to me a lot of time from different people. But as good Catholic, do not contend with the bare minimum. Do not think to yourself, okay, I'm here for the offertory until communion time, I'm okay. You know, do your best, you know, really, you know, you want to love God. So it's really important, do your best to come earlier, even before the Mass start, to be in the church already. And then go to confession frequently. You know, I'm in the confessional half an hour before all the Masses. You don't have to have mortal sin to go to confession. You can go to confession out of devotion so that you receive Jesus more properly with a clean heart. So it's always good to come a bit early, you know, once in a while, maybe once a month, to make a good confession so that you receive communion more properly. And then after communion, don't forget to make your proper thanksgiving. And sometimes it's really good that after Mass, you know, you stay to pray a bit more. You know, it's not required that when they have the final hymn, you have to really walk out and get away. You know, because in our church, especially the two Masses is not too close together. You're not in the Philippines one after another. It's 9 o'clock Mass. The next is 11, which is a good gap in between. So you can stay, and people won't come in and find that you occupy their seat. So it's okay to stay a bit longer. And after 11, there's no more Mass, you know, so you can stay as long as you want. So it's important that we remember, you know, it's good to know what is the bare minimum we must do, you know, when we learn about the commandment, but always important that we want to do more than just the bare minimum. We do that for our physical life too, right? When I baptize Savior, I always tell parents, you know, we have bare minimum for physical life, going to school, eat your food, you know, but we don't contend with the bare minimum for the children. We want to do more than that. And so for like the precept of the church, the commandment, we know the bare minimum, but that's to ensure we do what is necessary, but we should aim for more than just the bare minimum. Okay. Now in here, most persons find it easiest to follow the Mass by reading a prayer book. Others use a missal, follow the action of the priest. The last is the best way of participating in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, for then we can best share in Christ's sacrifice, uniting our intention to His, offering ourselves with Him to the Heavenly Father. Now, that's the best way to attend Mass. You follow the prayer, you listen to the prayer, you listen to the word being said, and think about the word and follow the action of the Mass. That's the best way to pray, but not the only way. Not the only way. So there are and remember, in the old days, the Mass in Latin. And it's the canon say in a low voice, because of the sacredness of the prayer. So people couldn't hear the word of the Mass when they attend Mass. But they still, no problem, because they know it's a sacrifice. I offer myself to God. I'm praying the rosary. I'm doing other prayer, but I'm uniting my prayer to that of the Mass. Now, I mentioned that is because sometimes it can happen. Your schedule is so chaotic that you cannot make to the Mass in the morning, and then you have an evening meal. Maybe the only Mass you can go to is the Vietnamese Mass in St. Matthew at 5 o'clock. Or if you go to travel, you might not be able to go to a Mass of the language that you understand. But as long as it's a Mass, it's okay, because it's a sacrifice. So think about John the Baptist's father. He was the priest. He was burning incense in the Holy of Holies. He was praying outside. They joined their prayer with the priest. Even though they don't see what's going on inside, they joined the prayer with the sacrifice in the temple. So for us too, there are many ways that we can participate at the Mass. Another minimum requirement is that in some old manual, it's mentioned, If a person have the sufficient attention that you know what part of the Mass it is right now, you fulfill your obligation for the Sunday Mass. If you are so unattentive, you are reading novel, you know, that you are not even knowing what part of the Mass, and you, of course, you're not mentally present. You are not fulfilling your obligation. So it can happen that you may at times you may have to go to a Mass that you hardly know what the priest has been saying. As long as you've got an idea at least what part of the Mass it is, and then you do your best to follow by praying, by offering yourself up to God, you're already praying. You already will have grace from that Mass. And so even though to follow the Mass test, the prayer, the action is the best way, as mentioned here, and also is nowadays encouraged by the church. That's why we have Mass in our own language. But that's the best way, but not the only way. Sometimes it's so easy for us, you know, in the church. Quite often it's so easy. People might use the best to against what is good. But sometimes, you know, what is good and the best, they don't against each other. So that's the best way, but it's not the only way. So if some people, you know, nowadays you find the extreme, the people when they cannot understand the Mass, they don't even go to the Mass at all. And so it's when they are traveling, for example, you know, or when they couldn't find the Mass in English in their area, you know, they don't attend it at all. So it's important that we know that even though that the best way to pray is not the only way. So if you have to go to a Mass in Spanish, in Vietnamese, or in Chinese, go to my Chinese Mass in Koh Kutlam, it's okay. You know, you can still go to those Mass and fulfill your Sunday Mass obligation.
I see some Filipino channels, they televise a Mass. So if you're listening and watching to that Mass,
yeah,
is that considered?
No. Yeah, to fulfill Sunday Mass obligation, you should be physically and morally present. So it's this. If you are too old and too sick to go to Mass, to watch on the television would be okay, because that's the only way you can pray more on Sunday. If you are physically capable, then you should be present physically and morally at the Mass. I think part of it is because, you know, when it's a holy day also require that we express that we worship God not only individually but also in a society publicly, because God deserves not only our private worship but also our public worship and social worship. And so that's part of the reason behind that the church requires us to keep Sunday holy by going to Mass on Sunday. Because the Mass itself is not only a private worship, it's a public social worship. And so when we give worship to God, it's important that we give Him not only the mental worship, but also the physical and the social worship. Yeah. But of course, when there's a legitimate reason, then we are impeded, then the second best you can do is to watch on the television. Like EWTN have Mass every day, you know, on the television, and sometimes I visit. I sometimes it's for some elderly people. That's the important source of support, because I know a couple of retired priests. One is a former pastor here, Monsignor Brown. When he retired, he moved to a nursing home close to my home in Vancouver, in Columbus Resident. You know, after his retirement, that EWTN television network become like his a spiritual lifeline. You know, it's really helped him a lot in his spiritual life. Another one is still alive, is in Fairhaven Haven in Burnaby, Father Benno. He used to be the pastor of the German parish. And so from time to time I go to visit him, and then he will be watching EWTN. Just last week I was there, and then the Mass was going on, and he was watching, and I just joined in and I watched with him too. It's so prayerful. They do the Mass so well, EWTN. Yeah. So it's a few times when I visit people whom they are watching EWTN, I join in and I watch, and I feel I can really pray. Yeah. It's a quite a prayerful recording, you know, or the broadcasting of the Mass. Okay, so in the next session here, 101 is talking about that we should again avoid unnecessary servile work, physical work. So we should do that. And then also, if it is something necessary, like to prepare for mass or necessity, because we have really have to cook or to clean, doing the necessary thing is okay. And then also, if it is needed by our neighbor, sometimes some profession is needed, like doctor or nurse, fireman, policeman, they are needed on Sunday. So, when amusement is okay on Sunday, but we have to do our best, you know, to remember that's a holy day. So, in here is really talking about, you know, the entertainment of those cause to be the one that is also appropriate. So, this is an interesting statement. Austin liked it when on Wednesday class he pointed out when Sunday is desecrated by vice or unrestrained pleasure, we can expect by this loosening of morals the gradual dissolution of family ties and the final disintegration of society. Yeah. So as I mentioned, you know, neglecting common worship, members of the family become indifferent to each other. Children turn stubborn and disobedient. The father hardly stay home and knows strangers better than his own children. Since the children lose respect for their parents, it is an easy step to lose respect for all authority, including the secular power. Thus, by forgetting God's day, men live like heathen and will die outside God's grace. So it's I think St. John Vianney, when he first came to the parish church that he, you know, he's a patron for parish priests, he picked his battleground. He focused in his first 8 years as the parish priest to make sure people observe Sunday properly. You know, that's his emphasis for his first 8 years in his parish. And then after that take root, then the whole parish church transformed. Because when people put God at the center of their life, and then the people start to really transform in the other areas in their life as well. So eventually, art became a model parish for the neighborhood, for many other people. And of course, St. John Vianney, also because of his dedication, open to the grace of God, he got the special gift of miracles, of reading hearts, of knowing people's sin in confession. And so it's a lot of people come to him for confession, long line up, and his church become a place of pilgrimage. But in his first 8 years, how he built up the whole parish community is by having everybody stop working on Sunday and go to church on Sunday. And so that's his emphasis for the first 8 years, and he working hard for that. And then eventually when people actually get it, you know, they put God at the center of their life, that their whole life transform and the whole community transform. So it's really important for us to, you know, make that a really high priority. And, you know, Easter is pretty close this year. It's the end of March. Huh? And in the near future, I do have to interview those who are be thinking about to be Catholic individually. And I think one of the questions I will be talking with you for sure is how are you going to Mass on Sunday? Because if you are not, even now, if you are not going to Mass on Sunday, I cannot let you be Catholic in good conscience. Because, you know, in the past, I have teach RCIA, you know, people who are not going to church on Sunday before becoming Catholic, they won't do that after becoming Catholic. And so it's really important, because one of the things that really haunt my conscience is that knowing people I baptize who are not going to church right now, you know, that's really haunting me. And then people who give me comfort are the ones after so many years when I go back to Corpus Christi or some other church and I see those I baptize still going to church, you know, they give me the comfort. You know, so it's something that I know I made enough mistake in the past. I won't do it again. So if people are not going to church right now, I don't think you are ready, you know, to be Catholic. So it's important that you take that really seriously, you know, because this is our most fundamental duty as Catholic, that we put God at the center, that we keep Sunday holy, and that's really important that we take that seriously. And of course, there are other things also really important, but that's one area that, you know, I want you to think about. Are you ready to make this commitment, going to church every Sunday, every weekend? If you're not ready, don't become Catholic yet. Take your time. You know, we can always do baptism or profession of faith any time during the year. Doesn't need to be Easter. You know, so if you're not ready, we can still have Pentecost in May. We can still do it in June or July or August, you know. You know, but just don't push yourself if you're not ready. So this is an area that I always, you know, telling people, you know, really important to think about. Are you willing to keep on going to church every weekend? You know, I tell you to go to church, and many of you doing well. I see you every weekend, but don't do that just because of me pushing you, but really because you want to do it continuously. If you think that, you know, you come to please me, so I let you baptize, and then you will stop doing that after you become Catholic. You know, don't do it for me. Do it for God to come to church on Sunday. That's really important. Okay, so really important. Huh? So in the near future, I really soon have to really interview. And then also, I will interview the non-Catholic first, because non-baptized first, because we would have to do the rites of also acceptance before the rite of election on February the 14th. Mm-hmm. Right, election supposed to the second rite already. So there's to be a rite of acceptance that you're officially enrolled to be catechumen. And then the rite of election will be you are actually officially called to be Catholic at Easter. The bishop will actually call you to be a candidate for Easter baptism. But you need to be enrolled to be catechumen first. So we will do that on the weekend, the last weekend of January, on the 30th, Saturday or 31st, on Sunday, depending on what mass you are coming. Which mass do you usually come?
The 11th.
11th. Which mass do you usually come?
9. Mostly try and go to the 9, if not we go to the 11.
Okay.
And
yeah.
If we know we've got a family thing on Sunday, we come on Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Saturday so night. So on maybe on the 31st, we want to make sure either the 9 or 11 or both, we will do the rites of acceptance for the non-baptized.
You always forget I'm not baptized.
I know.
I know, thank you.
It's for Easter. So y'all will be, I will do it in a different way.
Okay.
I will explain to you.
Okay.
I explain to you. Yeah. Don't worry. I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten you.
I'm special.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a nice way of saying it. I shouldn't.